Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee and join us in the book of Acts. We're going to actually start at the very beginning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but then we're going to go on to chapter 8, where we see an amazing thing happen that happens all throughout the scriptures, how one thing leads to another, or mate scriptures, and how that all works. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
This is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. Does it not say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ? Does it not say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. For your commandments are a lamp unto our feet, and your laws a light for our path, so that we may not stumble, but walk that straight and narrow way to life. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his mouth has commanded it. Seek out of the book of the Lord and read, for not one of these shall fail you, not one of these shall lack her mate, for his spirit has gathered them. His spirit has gathered them.
Well, look at how this works in the scriptures. Here he gave a summary in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power, dunamis power, like dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come within you, not upon. The Greek word is in, but you shall receive dynamite power when the Holy Spirit has come within you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, starting in Jerusalem, and going out from there. It's the hub. From Jerusalem, which God called the center of the world, from both in Jerusalem, and then in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost of the earth, that it would start and continue on to there. We're going to see it especially in Acts chapter 8, verse 40, but this is what Acts 8 is about. And here Stephen was being put to death, but he didn't die. A man doesn't have any power to do that. He simply fell asleep. In other words, his body wasn't working anymore, but he went to be with the Lord. So here we found yesterday the difference between falling asleep for the true believer that belongs to God versus a man dying. And Saul was consenting unto his death. This is the beginning of our introduction to Paul, the Apostle Paul, and his name before he became a believer was Saul. Like Simon Peter, Cephas, his name was changed. When he became God's son, he was named by God Peter. And this happens, Saul to Paul and to others, to all of us, actually. So we're now reading. So this is Saul is there at the death of Stephen. That's a context, just those few words is a context in itself. And we're going to start reading about this death and now about what came about as to this one person that saw the death of Saul or the death of Stephen, and his name is Saul, and how he's going to change. This is chapter 8, verse 1, 1 through 3.
And a great persecution arose on that day against the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men buried Stephen and made a great lamentation over him. But Saul laid waste the church, entering into every house and dragging men and women, committing them to prison.
So we're going to be reading here in chapter 8 about Saul before his conversion. So the church now has spread, just like it said in Acts 1:8, it now says that it is spreading. They're being dispersed throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, and it's going to keep going, except the apostles are still based in Jerusalem.
I thought that was interesting that this great persecution arose that day. At the death of him, a persecution started.
It was time for the church to spread.
It was.
And we think of, oh, that's terrible, the persecution is starting. And now, as a result of this, this is the beginning of the church, the called out, let's call it the called out group, which really the Greek says, this called out group of a bunch of different temples. Remember, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now there's maybe 16,000 of them. Maybe there's 24,000. Maybe there's 32,000. Maybe there's 48,000. It said it greatly multiplied. So each person being the temple of the Holy Spirit.
And what you would think would happen wasn't even part of it. The 12 apostles, they didn't go anywhere. God scattered all of these other people out of there. They
right.
did not leave there. It says, except the apostles. They stayed in Jerusalem. Interesting, huh?
Right. But we're going to keep our eye on Saul. He's going to be a part of this. Verses 4 through 7.
And those, therefore, scattered abroad went about preaching the word. But Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds gave heed with one accord to the things spoken by Philip, as they heard them and saw the signs which he did. For many of those that had unclean spirits that cried with a loud voice came out, and many paralyzed and lame were healed, and much joy was in that city.
This is interesting too, because the apostles, the ones that knew Christ face to face that grew up with him. He's not the central figure now. It's going to be Philip, who is one of those seven like Stephen. Stephen's now gone to be asleep. And now Philip is going down into Samaria, from Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is the next stage. And it's Philip. He mentions him twice here. And they're going to hear this image. They're preaching the same image of Christ, like it says in verse 4. He's going down to Samaria and proclaims to them the anointed one, Christ. And the crowds gave heed with one accord to the things spoken by Philip. So now he's using one of these seven. And he's not waiting on tables like we would think. Mm-mm. He's serving another meal called the Logon, the image of Christ.
And he's doing things, and some of these things that he's doing sound just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like just like the disciples of Jesus, those 12 handpicked, and sounds just like Jesus.
Yeah.
So we don't know how that word is going to be spread when we're in the middle of this. Like right now, we don't know how the Lord is going, who he's going to pick. He doesn't check with us first. I've never been to a place where God says, come here and let's discuss this and we're involved in this. It's always a surprise. We just don't know, but it's a good surprise. Verses 8 through 13.
But there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before time in the city used sorcery and amazed the nation of Samaria, saying, he was some great one, to whom all gave heed from small to great, saying, this man is the power of God, which is called great. And they gave heed to him, because that of long time he had amazed them with his sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. And Simon himself also believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip. And beholding signs done and great miracles, he was amazed. Now when the apostles, those at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they received the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Spirit was given, he brought them money, saying, give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay hands, he receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy silver perish with thee, because thou hast thought to obtain the gift of God with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this word, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. For I see that thou art unto the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. And Simon answered and said, pray you for me unto the Lord, that none of these things you have spoken come upon me.
I'm wondering if you shouldn't just read a little bit more for a while. Read the next context.
They therefore, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans.
Samaritans.
I've dropped a T.
So this is now the gospel going out, Jerusalem, Judea, and now Samaria, and now the apostles that grew up with Jesus, they're being involved. But it started with Philip, and it looks like the baptism is after, or pardon me, the baptism is before Peter and John come. So this all happened before, but they were involved, the ones that were with Christ were involved beyond baptism. they were involved with the laying on of hands. That happens after Peter and John, who were with Christ, come. So they were baptized. So you see this, when it talks about Simon the sorcerer, it says he was baptized into the name of the Lord, and they laid their hands on them. Anybody else see?
That's just a pattern again, where it happened in Acts 6, where they got the 12 involved with the laying on of hands, and here's another 2 out of the 12.
So it was just Philip that went down. Then he was preaching the gospel, and there were people, men and women, were being baptized, and they continued with Philip, beholding the signs and great wonders, and they were amazed. It doesn't say if there's anybody with him, though, does it? And so then Peter and John came down, so there was baptisms going on before, and then the apostles who grew up with Jesus and knew Jesus face to face, they joined them, and then there was the next step is the laying on of hands. And they received the Holy Spirit. They saw that the Holy Spirit was given through the laying on of hands, and it was such a different thing that Simon the sorcerer wanted this power. It was something visible happened that made him want to actually have that power, but he does the wrong thing to get it. Here comes money being involved, and that's the love of money is a root of all sorts of evils. And Peter said, your money perish with you. That we're not to think that the gift of God, that money has anything to do with it. It's totally whole separate thing. Money is the root of all sorts of evil. Plain and simple.
And he told him that his heart was not right before God.
Mm-hmm.
Verbatim, he told him that.
The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Anything else in here? His heart was not right. And he says, repent. We don't know. He might have had to get baptized again. It went back to repentance, or it could have just been that he was
thinking like his old self.
He just picked up his old way of thinking and he needed to knock it off. It doesn't say anything more about him, though, that we would know.
It ends.
Yeah. Verse 25.
They therefore, when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans.
But God's not done with Philip. So here again, that word logon, the foundation truths, are showing up 3 or 4 times that they were still preaching repentance away from dead works, faith on God. And again, this faith is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast. Men have their faith, and that doesn't work. It has to be a God-given faith. You want to finish that? Finish chapter 8?
But an angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza. The same is desert. And he arose and went, and lo, a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and sitting in his chariot was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join this chariot. And Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, then thou understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except one shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is dumb, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. His generation who shall desire? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this, of himself or some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached the gospel to him, Jesus. And as they went on the way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch says, Lo, water, what hinders me to be baptized? And he commanded to stop the chariot, and both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Lord's Spirit caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached the gospel to all the cities till he came to Caesarea.
Anybody have anything to say about that context? What stood out to you?
In verse 27, where he was coming from, who had come to Jerusalem to worship, and it was said a few shows back, but Brett said it about how Jesus said the true worshipers will worship in spirit and truth, and so it's not a location anymore. So that stood out to me this time.
There's two different parts to the kingdom of God. There are angels, there are cherubim, there are seraphim that are mentioned, and God's kids. And an angel in verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, and he told him a direction, go towards the south, and he told him what road. The road was the one that went from Jerusalem to Gaza. And that's all he said. He gave a direction. He told them what road. And then the Holy Spirit says he gave them fine directions and go near and join to this chariot. He tells exactly the address. Go to this chariot. This address happened to be like a chariot or a car, whatever vehicle the person is in. So isn't it interesting how you see the two working in conjunction, the Holy Spirit and God's angels? And Philip did that. He went up and did exactly what he said, and he joined him, and he was reading. He goes, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, well, how can I except for somebody guide me?
I always thought that this portion of it was interesting because when Philip actually teaches him or answers his question, it says opening his mouth and beginning from this scripture told him the glad tidings of Jesus. So basically starting where he was at and then leading him forward to Jesus. And I've even seen that with some folks in our fellowships. There was a young lady from Morocco, and the belief structure in Morocco, I believe, was Islam And so I watched where, in ministering to that person, starting where the delineation was, and then showing her or preaching to her Jesus at that point. And she came around. But that was a reminder of that, and what I watched that come about. Or come alive. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit, I mean, this is something that is very tangible, this account.
I moved to a new town, and I was on my front porch doing my daily reading in a Bible that looked like just a book. And I heard a voice that was speaking to me, read any good books lately? And I looked up, and it was a man named Don. I'll later find out his name is Don. And we started talking. Well, come to find out, he'd read through the Bible 20 times. He's on his 21st time reading through the Bible. And what I found is I would let him talk to me, and then because I knew he knew the Bible to some degree, I would just listen to the verse he was talking about, and I would bring in a mate scripture and answer it. It's like looking at a crossword or a picture puzzle, not a crossword, but a picture puzzle. And he maybe has one corner the puzzle, and I would show him another, you know, one of those straight edge piece, which is surrounds the outside, which be like the foundation truths. It sets the picture, it sets the guides. When you do those, find those four corners and you set those outside edges, I would just bring up one that was right next to his and show him a little bit more to it. And he'd look at me, and to this day, he still is coming towards me. All I do is I listen to him, and then I just show him surrounding scriptures that go along with what he's talking about. But I learned that through these scriptures like this. Mm-hmm. And so far, I haven't made him mad. When he hears this, I've not made you mad, if he ever listens to this. So it's been fun. So it got to Jesus. And so I'm explaining things. You know, when new people, I notice if they go to church, which this gentleman has done, they'll talk about church, but they don't know anything about the tabernacle. They don't know the details, and it's huge. And what is it, a third of the Bible talks about the tabernacle? It's huge. It's big. And so he had a lot of puzzle pieces. So I take the next one, but I always feel like the big picture is best first. So I'd say like something, well, this room has three rooms, and I just show him that scripture. You know, first, big picture, and maybe the direction it's faced, and then what each room is, and then maybe get into the furniture later on that's in the temple. But all these are outlined. You know, it starts with coming out of Egypt in Exodus, and then in chapter, actually, the temple is a lot of Exodus. But when Moses, it's described in Exodus with Moses, it starts with the Holy of Holies. It starts where God sits, and that special place where he is in our hearts, and it's in our hearts, not in our soul, not in our flesh. It's in the holy place, and our heart is to be holy. So he started with that scripture and preached the good. So when people talk to us, we want to get right into the gospel.
When it's obvious what he was talking to him about, the eunuch says, well, there's some water, and this is in the desert. There's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? I mean, he was telling him about that exactly. He was telling him about repentance. He was telling him about baptism. He was telling him about the forgiveness of sins. He was telling him about the Holy Spirit. And the first water that this man saw, he goes, hey, there's water. It was a story just like that. Hey, there's water.
So in the temple, what room is he talking about when he's talking about baptism, and what piece of furniture?
The laver in the outer court out there.
To get inside.
To get in.
That is right before that door that goes into the holy place. Not the Holy of Holies, but just the first step, the holy place. Wow, where did time go? We have no more time. Thanks for joining us, and until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.